This week we begin an in-depth look at one of the most vivid images in Scripture. Now, there is a little bit of problem, and this is a classic problem of culture, because our armor doesn't really look like this, right? You think about the armor that a Roman soldier would have been wearing, which is what he's going for as a Roman soldier. That's not what our soldiers particularly look like, so there is some cultural barrier there, but fortunately, there's so many movies that you've all seen this, right? You've all seen this sort of armor, the Roman sort of classic Roman armor. You've seen that, the breastplate and the helmet and the sword and the shield and all that stuff. So it's not too bad. It's just not what our soldiers particularly look like. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, we're going to read all 10 verses just in one block to get sort of the whole context. We're not going to go over all the pieces of armor today because that's what we're going to do in the future, right? But let's get the whole context in our minds. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to proclaim boldly the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Now, this is the whole context of this. And when you think about these phrases, over the next month or two, we'll examine each of these pieces, right? We've got the belt of truth and the shield of faith and the helmet of whatever the helmet was. What was the helmet again? Salvation, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. So we're going to look at what are they, what do they do for us, how do we equip them. We'll go over those individual pieces of armor. And the imagery is so good. Think about a Roman soldier, ready, got his sword, gladius, short sword. We actually have a gladius upstairs in the prop department. Should have brought that out. This evokes the picture of a Roman soldier, which all of the Ephesians would have been familiar with. This is the army that had conquered that portion of the world up until this point. These were the people that kept the peace. These were the people that fought the battles. If you were a Roman citizen, this was the army that you had to serve in for a bit, and then you had to of course, if you broke the law, these were the people that came and got you. So all of the Ephesians would have been familiar with this picture, and this was the picture of power. This was the predominant military of the time, right? So when you evoke this imagery, you're evoking the imagery of the thing that is the most powerful at the time in which they lived, the Roman legions, with which they conquered most of the known world at that time. But before we get into the specifics of the equipment, of course, the answer or the question must be asked, why do we need armor? Because that's the sort of the implied question in all this. Why do we need the armor? And that's what Paul covers first, isn't it? Those first few verses, the verses that was read by Lee, I think is the one who did the reading. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. This is the why. Why do we need armor at all? Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God for three reasons. We're going to see it. That you may be able to stand. And the key word in this text is stand. The stand is used twice. The other word that's the other verb is wrestle, right? We stand and we wrestle. And the idea of wrestling, this is an interesting word. The idea of grappling or wrestling, close quarters combat. You want to grapple the guy and throw him to the ground because it's easier to stab him with a sword if he's on the ground, right? So this idea of wrestling or close quarters combat, that's what we're going for here. This idea of standing and wrestling, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, there's that word again, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, stand, stand. Be solid, be immovable, do not retreat. Be a Roman soldier. That's and the idea of the Roman soldiers, they had their shields, right? And they had this interlocking technique with the shields. As they would advance slowly, they had this line, right? I should have pictures up there. I didn't even think about it. But they'd have this interlocking sort of technique with their shields that would prevent the enemy from getting at them with spears or getting at them with arrows. They would be able to advance. And discipline was the thing that made their army so great. That they were individual soldiers, but they worked together, and they all had the same equipment, and they know how to use that equipment together, and so they were able to basically conquer whoever it is that came against them, until eventually the empire died from infighting. Because isn't that the thing that would kill the church? Not an external force, but the infighting and the corruption from within. So have this armor, and that way you will be able to stand against these things. And three things specifically, right? This is the conclusion and summary of the whole book of Ephesians. And these three things that we're going to talk about today are things that he mentions previously in the book. He's already mentioned these things in Ephesians. Number one, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We'll talk about that. That you might wrestle against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, and that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So number one, to stand against the schemes of the devil. He's already touched on this, as I said, Ephesians 4:14, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. What do these schemes accomplish? Now, we're not going to talk about what the schemes are. We'll talk about those as we go through the armor pieces, because several of the armor pieces are specifically designed to combat these schemes. But what do they do? What do these schemes accomplish? I like the language here. Carried about and tossed to and fro. We get the image of a ship. I think this is ship language. You're on the waves, right? And the waves are rocking the ship back and forth. And the ship is not really stable. It's just sort of going wherever the wind and the waves take it. There's no control. There's no stability. It's not standing. It's just sort of going along with the ocean. This language ties into the stand against language, right? This is the opposite of that. Whereas if you're standing against, you're the one who decides where you stand. I'm going to stand on this spot, and it doesn't matter what you do. I'm not moving from this spot. It's a volition thing, right? I've chosen that. I'm doing that. I've decided that. I'm going to be right here. As opposed to being tossed to and fro, it's not my choice. I have no control over the matter. I'm just going wherever anything takes me. I'm not stable. I'm not secure. I'm the opposite of standing. But what would be carrying us about to and fro? Isn't it the doctrine, the false doctrine? 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. The goal is to convince you of untruth, whatever it happens to be. Could be a number of things, right? But this idea of being tossed to and fro is in your mind, the things that you believe, as opposed to making a decision, I believe this, because of X, Y, or Z. We all have reasons for what we believe, right? Mentally standing firm, I believe this thing, and that's what it is, as opposed to the being tossed to and fro, the being deceived by the schemes, I just believe what anybody tells me. I've been deceived into believing something that's wrong, and I don't believe the truth anymore. I used to at one point, but now somebody's come along and tricked me into believing something that's false. Isn't that the goal of the scheme? Either believing something wrong, that would be one part, or just not caring about what is true. Because you can be deceived in your mind, and we talked about this. It's kind of weird how things tie together. You can be deceived through false information, right? I don't have the right information in my head. Or you can be deceived emotionally. That's not that important. I know it says this, but you don't really need to worry about it. That's a deception of emotion, right? What am I caring about? What do I prioritize? I may know the true things, but I might be deceived in my heart to think that it doesn't matter. These are the things that the devil would like to do. And a lot of the armor, we're going to look at the armor pieces as we go through this, A lot of the armor is designed to prevent deception and trickery, to keep you firmly established, not physically, but mentally firmly established in what is true and what is right. Beginning with the first piece, right? The belt of truth and a number of other pieces. Number two, to wrestle against cosmic powers. And this key word here is wrestle. I like this word wrestle because it implies close quarters combat. That I'm trying to grapple you to the ground is what the implication here is, wrestling, right? And Roman soldiers would have done this. They would have been in close combat. That's why we need a sword, because we're in close combat. If you're over there, I'm not fighting you with a sword, right? So this idea of wrestling against cosmic powers, that I'm up close to, I'm right up against the cosmic powers. That this is a fight that's taking place in close quarters. It's not their way over there and I'm over here, but we're right up against each other. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is at work in the sons of disobedience. We have to recognize the battle before us, right? Wars are won and lost through failure to see the enemy. Either you don't see the enemy coming or you have a false understanding of who the enemy is. Isn't that a lot of deception and trickery? We talk about schemes. One of the things we try to do in battle is we try to convince the other side either that there is no enemy coming or that this other person is the enemy. I'm really the enemy and I want to defeat this other person. But if they're over here focused on the wrong enemy, then I'm going to have an easy time just walking up and shanking them. That's what the devil's trying to do, right? To distract us from where the real battle's taking place. Don't just ignore the man behind the curtain. Isn't that kind of the idea? That this is a battle that we need to see before us. The schemes are designed to prevent us from seeing the real enemy in front of us. The cosmic powers that, of course, as this text says, interact with us through the lost. But the lost are not the enemy, right? They interact with the lost. The spirit that now is at work in the sons of disobedience, that would be all the people who are not obeying the truth. But the people that are not obeying the truth, they're not the enemy. The enemy is the one that is working through them. And man, one of the schemes of the devil that he's really good at is convincing you that the person that you're interacting with, the person that you're talking to, the person that is persecuting you, he's really good at convincing you that that's the real enemy. But they're not the enemy. Who are they? They're the captives. They're the prisoners. They're the ones that need to be liberated, because the real enemy, the one behind them, is the one who we're supposed to be fighting. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. Right? It's not about the other people. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. It's not the flesh and blood human in front of you that's your enemy. They've been deceived, they've been tricked by the schemes of the devil. It's the ideas that they present, right? The wrong ideas, the false teachings, the things that they try to say that are incorrect, that's the problem. And what we're designed to do, this armor of God, and the two offensive things, right? The shield, which you use in battle to defend, and then the sword that you attack with. The offensive thing is designed to what? It's not designed to kill the person in front of you. It's designed to kill their bad ideas, to kill their incorrect assumptions, to put to death their misconceptions about God and His Word. Isn't that what we're trying to do? You need to see the right enemy. It's not the person. It's their ideas and the one who convinced them of those ideas, that being the devil. We aren't fighting physically, of course, but the conflict is no less impactful, right? And to be fair, we think about this in terms of earthly battle versus spiritual battle. If I kill you in earthly battle, I've maybe removed, I don't know how old you might be, whatever, say I kill a 30-year-old, I've removed 50 years off the end of their life. As opposed to the spiritual battle, if people fall in that, an eternity of lostness. So yeah, the battle isn't flesh and blood, it's not physical in nature, but the ramifications and the impact are much more wide-reaching than any physical war, aren't they? They matter more. It matters more that this is about ideas and hearts and minds. It matters. This is a battle for the hearts and souls of humans. And like any fight then, why have the armor of God? Better equipment leads to more effectiveness. If you have a dull sword, you're not going to do much damage. If your shield's all beaten up and it's got holes in it and it's dented, well, you're not going to stop a lot, right? If your breastplate is all rusted and not very good, we need better equipment to be able to fight the battle. Number three then, to withstand in the evil day. And this day of evil is interesting. Ephesians 5:15-16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. What does that mean? Evil days. What does it mean that the days are evil? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. 2 Timothy 3:1, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. The times of difficulty would be any time we need the armor. And you can remember with the three T's. I like the three T's. I didn't mean to do this, but as I was looking over my notes, it just sort of happened. Temptations, trials, and tribulations. Any day in which you face one of those three things is an evil day. It's not a righteous day, right? Because God wouldn't want that to happen to you. So the day that would be evil would be the day that you face one of these three things. Temptations, trials, and tribulations. And might I suggest, when the day comes, it's too late to don the armor. You needed to have the armor on ahead of time. Isn't that the idea that he's talking about? Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Don't wait until the evil day to put the armor on. Have it on in preparation for that day. Soldiers need to be equipped when the attack happens, not after. The enemy's not going to wait. You think about an invading force. The enemy comes and they march to the gates and you attempt to parlay, hey, hold on, we're not ready. Can we go put on our armor? They're not going to wait for that. What are they going to think? Oh, this is going to be even easier. Yes, I've caught them unaware. I'm going to go attack them now while they're unprepared. And might I suggest the devil is the same way. He's not going to wait for you to go back home and put on the armor. What is he going to do? Too bad. Too late. I caught you unaware. Now I get to win. That's what the devil's trying to do. Put the armor on ahead of time. Put the armor on when times are good, when the days are good, not when the days are evil. When you have a good day, equip yourself with the armor so that maybe tomorrow when the evil day comes, you're ready because you already put the armor on. Ha, devil, the joke's on you because I was ready for your attack. Here's my shield right here. Right? That's what we're trying to do. That's the thing that we're going for here. The armor of God is how his power is expressed in our lives. And if we refuse to put it on, what's the point? We're just letting his power go to waste. Ephesians 1:18-23, we'll end with this passage. Ephesians 1:18-23. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power. Power that cannot be measured or quantified or put into a little box. The immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. The bolded underlined part. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? Might I suggest that the armor of God is the manifestation of that power toward you? What does that mean? He died. He rose for your sins. Hooray. But what does that mean practically, tangibly in your life? The armor is how that is expressed. The belt of truth, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. These are the manifestations of his power in your life. Why? So that you can win. You can be victorious in the battle. The commander is equipping the army for the fight. No good commander is going to leave his soldiers bare, right? Their enemy's going to come, but guys, don't worry about it. Just fight them in your street clothes. That's ridiculous. The commander wants us to be prepared. And those manifestations of power then are the armor. We're going to talk about, of course, as we go through each piece, what that means practically, tangibly in your life. What does that mean? We'll talk about that. He raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. What rule, authority, power, and dominion? Isn't the cosmic powers that we just got done talking about? Those cosmic powers, the spiritual forces in the heavenly places, that he has been raised above that. And the question might be, if this is the army, who's the commanding officer? Wouldn't that be Christ, who has been raised above all these other cosmic powers, who is far greater than any enemy we might face? And we are soldiers in a cosmic battle, so let's equip ourselves for victory. Right? I want to win. Do you want to win? Wow. Two of us want to win. I don't know what the rest of you guys are going to do. Three of us. Oh, we got three people that want to win. Do you want to win? Yeah, I want to win. I want to win. Man, maybe some of you are just waiting to get shanked by the devil. I don't know. Let's equip ourselves for victory.